I am beginning a new series of sermons today that I'm calling Biblical Benedictions. As far as I can remember, this will be the first time I have ever covered this subject. The benedictions are usually thought of as something given at the end of a worship service. It's sort of like a dismissal, so that everybody knows that it's time to get up and go home. But benedictions are also a blessing in a way, a blessing that is spoken over a person or a group of people. I want to start off today with an Old Testament benediction, and I want to read a scripture out of the Old Testament, book of Numbers, the 6th chapter, verses 24 through 26. And this is a blessing, a benediction that was given by the Lord to his people. And it says this, Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and lift up his countenance. Another scripture has it, another translation, and give you peace. This particular Old Testament benediction is probably familiar to most of you. I wanted to sort of cite this particular benediction as a introduction to the various examples we find in the New Testament, most of which were given by Paul in his letters. So we'll be looking at those later on. The benediction I'm dealing with today is usually called the Aaronic blessing, after Aaron, who, as you all know, was Moses' brother, and was also appointed the first high priest of the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel." And then what follows next, of course, is the blessing, the benediction that I read to you just a moment ago. Aaron, Moses' brother, was called upon to pronounce this blessing on his people, on the Lord's people. The Lord also said, as the result of receiving this blessing, it will serve to put the Lord's name on Israel. In other words, it will help everyone to know that Israel was God's people, that he was God's special people, and that he will bless them as a result. So we're going to take a look at this particular blessing, but I want to say a couple of things before that. This blessing was, of course, first of all, given to the Israelites, given to the people of God in the Old Testament. But I believe it can also apply to us, who are God's people today. And it has something that we can all receive from it. First of all, I want to relate a couple of things, a couple of observations about it, before we get into the actual benediction. First of all, this benediction, along with the many promises of God that we find in the Bible, indicate to us that it is God's desire, and yes, even his will, to bless people. God is in the blessing business. He wants to bless people. He wants to, in some way or another, impart a blessing to them. Now, some people think that God is always looking for some way to punish them, or that he is a hard taskmaster. And that is why they sort of avoid him. That's why they keep away from him. That's why they don't want anything to do with him, because they're afraid of what he might do to them. God is a just God, which means he cannot tolerate sin. At the same time, God is a loving God who is willing to forgive and to forget. I know that you already know all of that, but what we sometimes forget is that he desires to bless us. And we may be going through a hard time in our lives, or it may seem that God is not helping us right now in the way that we need it most. But we must remind ourselves in those times that God truly loves us, and that is his purpose. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. And he always wants what is best for us. Now, if we could truly believe that in our hearts, if we can hold on to that understanding, then it will help us through those tough times, those times when we're going through something difficult and To be sure, sometimes God seems like he's far off from us and we can't reach him. But if we'll just remember that he loves us and he cares about us and he wants to bless us, it will help us get through those times. The second observation I want to make is that God may offer us his blessing, but we still have to be willing to receive it when and how he wants to give it to us. James wrote in his letter that every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, of the heavenly lights. When we receive a gift from God, we will find that it is always good and perfect, even though we may not understand it at the time. We may not realize what it is or what he's doing or how he's blessing us in some way or another. But it is his purpose to do that. When we are open to receiving a blessing, God is ready and willing to bless us. Jesus once said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." But we also know, and all of us have experienced that, before we have anything to give, we must have something that we have received. We must have something in order to be able to give it. Have you ever seen a mother bird as she feeds her little ones? When she approaches them with a worm in her mouth or a bug or whatever it is she's feeding them, those little birds just pop up and they open their mouths wide open as if to be ready and willing to receive whatever she wants to give them. I think that should be our attitude as God's people, as Christians. When God wants us to have something, when he wants to impart something to us, when he wants to grant us a blessing, when he wants to bring something to us, we should be wide open and receive it with gladness. Now let's turn to the benediction we are considering today. The first part of it reads, "The Lord bless you and keep you." That speaks to us, my friends, of God's protection and his care over us. I've already talked a little bit about God's willingness to bless us, but the words of a familiar hymn tell us to be not dismayed, whatever betide. Why? Because God will take care of you. God will take care of you. We'll be singing that hymn together in closing, and as we do, I hope you'll pay special attention to the words of that song. There are many scriptures in the Bible that talk about God's care, about how he desires to express his love through his care over us, how he wants to provide for us, and so on. But I'm not going to try to cover all those, of course. It would take us the rest of the time together. But I could just quote a few of these for you today, starting off with the first one, Psalm 23:1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What does that say to you? What it says to me is that if we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, he watches over us like a shepherd watches over the sheep. He cares for us, provides for us. He wants to give to us. The next scripture is Matthew 6:33, which says, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." God wants to provide for us. He wants to give to us. He wants to bless us. And Jesus told us not to worry about our most basic needs, the things that we really need to have in our lives to help us. Sometimes we just need to get our priorities straight and figure out what's most important, what we really need. What is it that God can give to us that will help us the most? One other scripture I want to cite is Philippians 4:19, which says, "My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." It is our Heavenly Father, it is our Heavenly Father's place to take care of us. Now, we know that we have some responsibility in that as well. God is not running a divine welfare company or a bureau or whatever. But he does promise to take care of us if we will trust in him. It is our responsibility to do that, to trust him to do it, to look to him for his help, to depend upon him for his providential giving to us. This benediction also includes God's protection over us. The Lord keep you. This idea of being kept by the Lord includes his desire to watch out for us. To me, it's a sense of comfort to know that my Heavenly Father wants to watch out for me. He wants to watch over me. And you know, we can avoid a lot of pitfalls if we just follow his guidance. If we allow him to lead us through the Holy Spirit. Because he doesn't want us to get into things that are dangerous or difficult or harmful to us. And he can lead us away from those things. One of my personal favorites is Psalm 121. It talks about God's watch care over his people. And it ends up by saying, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. He will go with you. He will keep your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." That's almost a total watch care over us, a total keeping of us in his love and care. Sometimes when you're going through something hard or difficult, when you feel like I'm trying to reach God, but I just can't seem to do it, or God doesn't seem to be responding to me, or I need his help, but I'm not getting it the way I need it right now. Just read that psalm over, Psalm 121, especially the first part of it, for it tells us that God does care, that God does hear us, that God does see what we're going through, and that God does want to provide for us and help us in our times of need. God wants to watch over his people. God's watch care over his people is complete and total. He ends up by saying, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life." What a wonderful promise that is. The Lord will watch over us forevermore. We see these advertisements on TV now about all these home security systems. And we're told if we just put one of these in our house now, we're going to be totally secure. But we all know that's not possible. In this life, in this time, in this culture, to be totally secure at all times. The only complete security we have is not in this world, but in the Lord alone. He is only, and him, he alone is able to keep us safe and secure, which he will do if we look to him. Next, this benediction talks about the Lord making his face to shine upon us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. And by way of extra emphasis, it says, "The Lord turn his face toward you." That's just another way of describing God's pleasure toward us. I read somewhere that this phrase, "make his face shine upon us," actually means that God is smiling at us. I like that. I like to think that when God looks at me, he's not always frowning, or he doesn't always feel like I've done something wrong, or I've done something bad, or he's against me in some way or another. I like to think that God is smiling at us and that he thinks highly of us. It is his gift. So when we think about God looking at us, how do we really see him? You probably heard it said that too often we seek the hand of God and not often enough the face of God. The hand of God, we come to him and we ask him to do something for us. And that's all right. We can do that. He needs for us to come to him and ask for his help. But we shouldn't do that all the time. He also wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And that's what it means when we say, "I will seek the face of God. I will seek to come to closer to him. I'll seek to get to know him better. Seek to live closer by him each and every day." This benediction also talks about the Lord's graciousness. the Lord's graciousness. That means he deals with us in a gracious manner, or he extends his grace to us. Paul tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. None of us could be saved if it had not been for God's grace. That grace prompted him to send his only son to make a way for us. Grace, as you know, is God's unmerited favor given to us, even though we don't deserve it, and even though we can never earn it. It's just his gift to us. We need God's grace, not only to be saved, but also to live each and every day. We need his grace to cover us. We need his grace to fill our lives, to help us through each and every day. You remember when Paul was asked, the Lord came to him three times, and he asked him to remove a thorn in the flesh which he had in his life, which was given to him to keep him from getting too haughty about some things that he had experienced. So he came to the Lord and he said, please remove that thorn from my life. But the Lord said instead, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And it will always be, not only for him, but for us as well. Last but not least, this benediction offers to us the peace of God. The peace of God. The opposite of peace is turmoil, worry, fretting, fighting, conflict. As we look at the world around us, we can see that peace is hard to find. There's so much conflict in our time, of this group against that group, of people against people, of nations against nation. And it's hard to find peace. Hard to look and see wherever we might be able to find it. People do all sorts of things to deal with the conflict that's in the world today. Many of them are not good. But in order to look at the world the way it is and to live in the world the way it is, we must have the peace of God. We can focus our life, we can focus our attention, we can look at the things around us that are happening, and that will get us all a lot of upset. But as Christians, we do have an alternative. We don't have to allow ourselves to become upset. We can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. What does that mean exactly? It means that though everything is being torn apart, everything is being shook up, everything we see around us is fomenting and there's crisis in these things, in spite of all that, we have a ground of certainty as Christians to stand on. We can have peace in our hearts because we know that God is still in control and he will work things out for our good. The Apostle Paul once said that we should always believe that God works in all things for our benefit, for our good, and that he wants to bring us through something, bring us out of something, and it should be better than when we even went in. You know, other people look at us as Christians and wonder why we don't get all upset. Well, we all don't get torn apart because of all the things that are happening in the world today. Why we're not constantly going around biting our fingernails or pulling our hair out. And there's a reason for that. That's because we can offer to them the peace that God has brought into our lives. Because we have peace with God, we can also have the peace of God in our hearts. And that helps us as we get up and go out into the world every single day. Well, my friends, that's the Aaronic blessing or benediction. Through it, we are offered protection, provision, favor, grace, and peace. Is there anything on that list that any of us might be needing today? Anything that you might be needing from that list today? How about all of it? I think that's true for most of us as well. The next time we'll turn to the New Testament to see what the benedictions there hold for us. as we continue with this series. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this time of waiting before you. We thank you for this benediction, which promises so much to us, Lord, all of which we need in our lives each and every day. So, Father, as you want to give us this blessing, help us to open our hearts today. Help us to open wide open and receive whatever it is that you want us to have. And as we receive it, Father, to be sure to stop and to remember you are the one who gives. You are the one who really pours out the blessings into our lives, and to be thankful for it. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.